Mike Rutherford covering college basketball for SB Nation, joining us on the Progressive Insurance Liberty Guest Line. Mike Mapparalt, how are you?
Not too bad, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing good. Let's start with the breaking news tonight, and that's that Kansas forward Carlton Bragg has been indefinitely suspended. It's not connected to the alleged incident in McCarthy Hall back in December, according to head coach Bill Self. But just how big of news is this for one of the top five teams in the country to lose a front court guy like Bragg?
I think it's big. I mean, it's probably, and this sounds weird, not as big as Kansas fans would like it to be, just because Bragg hasn't been as good as Kansas fans would have liked him to have been so far this season. Having said that, this is still a 6'10", 240-pound guy who played a lot of minutes on a team that's main weakness is his lack of a front court presence. So especially going into a game this Saturday against Kentucky that's been so hyped up, and against the UK team that has a very, very good big in Bam Adebayo, the loss of Bragg is a big deal. But even, I guess, looking forward, when you play in the Big 12, you're going to go up against some, you know, kind of rough and tumble 6'9 dudes who are going to try to bully you in the post. And that's sort of where Bragg could make a difference for this team. I know his numbers are modest, and I know that Kansas fans would have liked to have seen him be a little bit more of a defensive presence so far this year. But that's I don't think that just makes him a throwaway player. He's still averaging 15 minutes per game. He still was going to be a guy who factors into any sort of success that you would assume you're going to have in March and down the stretch in the Big 12. So I think it's a big loss. Is it the difference between Kansas potentially making the Final Four and not making the Final Four? I don't know if it's that big, but maybe, you know, maybe it's the difference between them beating a really good team and winning a national title and not. Who's to say how good Bragg could have matured or how much he could have matured over the course of these last 2 months?
Mike, this week we have seen number 1, 2, 4, 6, and 8 all lose. Is this just a fluky thing or a symptom of what is coming or a sign of what is coming in March for the tournament?
That's a really good question, because as much as I'd like to say it's a fluky thing, I think that we've seen a couple of teams show a side of themselves or show more weaknesses this week than maybe we thought. The two that really, I think, stood out to me have been UCLA and Kentucky. I think Kentucky is still one of the best five or six teams in the country and still probably one of the four or five teams most likely to win a national title. But they've got more holes at this point in the season than we thought they were going to. I mean, this is still a team that goes 6'4", 6'4", 6'4" across its top three positions. That puts them in a weird place when it comes to defending a really elite wing. If you get a guy who's 6'7" and can flash, that's a player that they don't really have an answer for defensively. They also have a huge issue at the four spot, I think. Wenyen Gabriel has been better for them, but still, I'm not sure if he's a long-term answer. And when you look at their bench, when you look at Kentucky's bench, it just doesn't strike me as the type of bench that you're used to seeing from a John Calipari coach team. I mean, Dominique Hawkins is fine. Derek Willis can be fine. Sasha Kalea-Jones, if you want to play him, is fine. But this isn't the type of bench that you typically see win a national title. UCLA, I think that maybe we all sort of jumped the gun a couple weeks ago saying this is a team that's definitely, at the very least, going to make the regional finals. It's going to be an Elite Eight squad and probably going to go to a Final Four, even if they don't play any defense. They can outscore anybody. And we've seen this past week that that's just not true. I mean, the Arizona loss at home was a little bit troubling just because it was at home against the Zona team that had dealt with so many injuries and so much off-the-court controversy with Alonzo Trier and what his status was. And then to lose to USC this week, I know it was on the road and SC had their number last year, but that's still a team that they should have been able to outclass with just pure talent. And SC was the better team from start to finish. I think that's a little bit worrisome. And I guess if you're a Bruin fan, you hope this is the moment where they say, we're going to have to play at least a little bit of defense at some point if we want to win a national title.
Mike Rutherford covering college basketball for SB Nation, joining us here on game night. So I know when the substitute teacher comes into the classroom, kids can kind of lax off and, you know, do some things maybe they're not supposed to. But Coach K deciding after a 2-3 start after his back surgery that he had had enough with his team, he takes away the Duke gear, kicks him out of the locker room. But what, obviously this is a sign that Duke's in real trouble here, but what's their problem in your mind? Well, what have you seen at Duke that Duke fans should be concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, how much time do we have here? It is a really difficult question to answer. And I know that's the question that everybody wants to ask is, you know, what's the biggest thing going on here? I think it's just a confluence of things. You've got so many factors affecting Duke right now. The Coach K thing is a big deal. I mean, I don't know what to make of this whole you're not allowed to wear Blue Devil stuff on campus and you're not allowed in the locker room. I asked a former player today who played at a major college basketball program just, I guess, 3 years ago. He graduated. Is this something that you think could work? And he was like, no. I mean, he's like, you know, we would have laughed it off and said, you know, this is just a mechanism for the media. But maybe it works with this group. I don't know. I have heard that there are some stories of some divide amongst that team between the freshmen and the quote-unquote veterans. I think you throw Luke Kennard in that group, even though he's a sophomore. And you've got a guy like Emil Jefferson, who is, you know, 28 years old or however. He's been around forever. I think that Duke's biggest issue to me, and there are a bunch, but the one that stands out to me is the fact that you've got a lot of guys on that team who either don't know what their role is or who are unwilling to play that role. I mean, they don't have a point guard. Their three best players are all score-first guys. Grayson Allen, Luke Kennard, and Jason Tatum, they all are going to look to score first, look to score second, look to pass third, and that's not going to work. You cannot win a title with that being your recipe for offense. At some point, somebody's going to have to take the reins and say, I'm going to distribute first. And I think that Luke Kennard would be the best option. I don't know if he wants to do that. I think he's kind of got his sights set on being this big-time scorer and being a sort of Cinderella story as a first-round NBA draft pick this June. Tatum is definitely not going to be that guy. He's fresh off the AAU courts where he's expecting to score 30 a game. And Grayson Allen has not shown an ability to effectively run the point. He's at his best when he's slashing and looking to score first. So I think you play to that strength if you're Jeff Capel or if you're Mike Krzyzewski when you come back. And then I think also the Harry Giles issue is sort of concerning. He has not looked like a guy who was, according to most recruiting experts, the number one player in that class. He looks like a guy who hadn't played basketball in 13 months. And I think that is very concerning. And I don't think you can bank on him becoming a five-star caliber player at some point between now and the end of the season.
All right, got about a minute left. You cover Louisville. What's the ceiling for the Cardinals? How good can they be this year?
You know, heading into the season, I thought the ceiling would maybe be, you know, get the right draw, maybe make a Final Four and see what happens. But when you look across the landscape of college basketball, those teams at the very top that we expected to be, you know, so much more dominant than the rest of the country really haven't been. I mean, Louisville's beaten Kentucky. They should have beaten Baylor on a neutral floor. They have, I think, five KenPom top 30 wins. They have no bad losses. So I think at this point, you say the ceiling is winning a national title. I mean, when everybody else is falling across the country this week, they're beating Pitt by 55 points at Pitt. So I think it would take some breaks to happen, but I'll say right now they're one of maybe 15 teams that could win a national title.
Good stuff. Mike, thanks for time tonight. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
That's Mike Rutherford from SB Nation covering college basketball for us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line here on Game Night with Matt Peralta. I think he's right. I think it's a wide open year.